It's been a full day, has it not? A good day. Students, this is a day that you have worked toward, you have prepared for, you've looked toward, and you are here. We are here. The day has come. Welcome to Union University. We're glad that you're here. Over this summer, we have prayed for each one of you by name, with an understanding that God has brought you to this place, that within the context of what He is doing throughout the world, His desire is that you be in this place at this time for this purpose, and we're glad that you're here. This is a huge day for you, students. Parents, it's a huge day for you. How many of you parents, this is the first time you're bringing a child to college, one of your children to college? All right. We'll have a special prayer for you in just a little while. Students, tonight marks the official transition from that time in your life where you live with your parents and you visit your friends to now, when you live with your friends and you visit your parents. You thought about that? There is so much that is different now. There is so much that will never be the same. God is good to you. And God is gracious to you. There are more than 7 billion people on this planet. And only about 7% of those 7 billion people have a college education. And here you are getting ready to begin your university years. You are a gifted and graced people. We are a gifted and graced people. For us to be able to spend this time together in this place for this purpose is indeed a gift from God. Nelson Mandela, who passed away this last year, says that education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world. And I would say that as powerful as education is, even more powerful is a Christian higher education. Union University is both a great commission institution and a great commandment institution. We are about the tremendous work of providing Christ-centered education that promotes excellence and character development in service to church and society. And we have an understanding of our place in this work that Jesus commanded us, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. We're also a great commandment institution. We realize what Jesus said the great commandment is, love the Lord your God. You've already acknowledged that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. The great commandment. One day, an expert in the details of the Jewish law was out and he asked Jesus a question. And he said, Jesus, if I want eternal life, what must I do? And Jesus said, well, you're an expert in the law, you know, you tell me. And the expert in the law quoted from the Old Testament. He quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, and he quoted Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, what we now have as the great commandment. He said, if you'll do those two things, if you'll love God with everything you've got, and if you'll love your neighbor as yourself, you'll be good to go. And when he answered that way, Jesus said, you have answered correctly. Right. He literally said in the New Testament, orthos. He said, you have answered orthos. It's the word that we get our word, what? Orthodoxy from, right? It's where we get our word orthodoxy. The word orthodoxy means to be sound or correct in opinion, Christian faith, or doctrine, especially theological or religious doctrine. And can you imagine being a person who gives Jesus the right answer? There are professors here that you want to give them the right answer, but can you imagine giving Jesus the right answer? And Jesus saying, orthos, you got it, right? You're orthodox. And this expert in the law, after hearing that he had answered in an orthodox fashion, wanted to ask another question about the application of his orthodox answer. And Jesus, who was the master teacher, instead of answering this man's question, told him a story. And the story that he told is the story that we know as the story of the Good Samaritan. And that's what I want us to do this evening, is as we turn our attention to this particular story and as we think about our prayers for you as you are entering into this university. Hear the word of God in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly, orthos. Do this and you will live. Do this and you will live. Do this and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And so likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" And he said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord. We're not going to over-allegorize this story as many did in the days of the early church, but I do want for this story to serve as a framework for us so that we might let you know of how we are praying for you as you enter into this place called Union University. At Union University, we realize that orthodoxy is not a matter of merely one aspect of our being. Rather, orthodoxy is a matter of comprehensive and holistic life, a life of Christian thought, Christian emotion, and Christian action. As Christians, we seek to be orthodox in our thinking, in our feeling, and in our acting. And parents and students, we want you to know this evening that we are praying for you as we step into these years together. There are 3 things that we're praying for you this evening, that we've been praying for you, that we're going to continue praying as we walk together in this journey together. First, our prayer for you, our prayer for all of us, is that we would have minds that think like the mind of Christ. That's our prayer. Our prayer for you as an institution, for our students, is that you would have minds that think like the mind of Christ. A man was going down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. It was about a 17-mile road full of curves. It was rocky and rugged, and there were all kinds of twists and turns. There were dark places. There were bushes along the way where robbers would literally hang out. They would jump out, and they would mug people, and they would rob people. So when Jesus began telling this story about robbers stripping and beating and leaving a man half dead, it was a very familiar story for those in Jerusalem. Jesus tells this story about a man who was walking down this road, and he was stripped, and he was beaten, and he was left half dead. And then Jesus says that there were three different men who came walking along the road. The first man was a priest. And the priest, when he began walking down the road, the Bible says, Jesus says that he walked by on the other side. So picture in your mind with me a man lying on the side of the road, and this Samaritan, who in Jesus' day had the responsibility of administrating the sacrificial system of the temple. They offered the sacrifices. This would be the closest that we know to a modern-day pastor or a modern-day priest. And yet, the very one that we would have expected to stop, he didn't. Jesus says that he passed by on the other side. Now, maybe he had a long day at the temple. We don't know. Maybe he didn't want to become ceremonially unclean. Priests were not allowed to touch dead bodies. Maybe, let's give him the benefit of the doubt, maybe he thought that the man lying on the side of the road was already dead and he didn't want to become ceremonially unclean. So he walked by. And following in his footsteps, Jesus says that another man came walking by, a Levite. Levites served as assistants to the priests. They were involved in the maintenance of the temple, the services and the order. And Jesus is explicit to say that the Levite did just like the priest did. As he's walking down the road, he walks by on the other side. This man is lying on the road, and the priest and the Levite walk by on the side of the road. And then a Samaritan came walking by. Now, when Jesus mentioned the Samaritan, you probably could hear an audible gasp in the crowd. A Samaritan? He's actually going to talk about a Samaritan. A Samaritan is in this story. You see, Samaritans and Jews, they didn't get along. You talk about racism. Samaritans were considered half-breeds left over from the 8th century. They were considered impure people. The Jews despised them. They hated one another. The relationships between the Jews and the Samaritans in Jesus' day made the relationships between blacks and whites of the 60s in the South seem like child's play. We think we know something about racism. Not so. So in this story that Jesus tells to a Jewish crowd, you have a Samaritan man walking up on this man. This story is packed with all kinds of racial and cultural tension, but the Samaritan man stopped. And I want to suggest to you this evening that the reason that he stopped was that he had a mind that thought like the mind of Christ. He stopped because of the way he was thinking. He saw what he saw, but it began up here. It's very interesting the way Luke records this story that Jesus told for us. The priest, the Bible says that as he's walking down the road, he saw the man on the side of the road. The simple word saw, he saw the man. The Levite, in verse 32, same thing. As he's walking down the road, he saw the man on the side of the road. The Samaritan, in verse 33, it says the same thing, that the Samaritan, just like the priest and just like the Levite, saw the man on the side of the road. It's the same word in the Greek language. The priest saw the man. The Levite saw the man. The Samaritan saw the man. But when it comes to following God, life is not so much about what you see as it is about how you see what you see. And I suggest to you this evening that the Samaritan saw the man differently. You see, the priest saw the man, but saw him incorrectly. The Levite saw the man, but he saw him incorrectly. The Samaritan saw the man, and he saw him orthos. He saw him the way he should have been seen. Our prayer for you tonight at Union University is that you would have minds that think like the mind of Christ. We want you to think correctly. We want you to think rightly. We want you to grow in your ability to assess and process accurately. We want you to think God's thoughts after Him. We want you to be orthodox in your thinking. And God has done an amazing work by bringing people literally from all over the world. Literally, listen, from all over the world, people have come to this place to teach and to serve you. Men and women who could be anywhere else in the world, and they're here because they want to be a part of what God is doing, and they want to lead you to think like Christ thinks, to look at all things with the understanding that by Him, Christ, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. Our desire is that you grow in your understanding that Christ is the foundation and He is the framework and He is the focus of all things, that all things were created through Him and for Him. This is possible because Paul says, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we, Paul says, but we have the mind of Christ. And he would say later in another letter, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. Our prayer for you is that indeed God might develop in you even further minds that think like the mind of Christ. But we're also praying that God would give you hearts that beat like the heart of Christ. Not merely minds that think like the mind of Christ, but hearts that beat like the heart of Christ. Jesus says that the Samaritan saw the man on the side of the road and, it wasn't finished, he saw him and he had what? He had compassion. What is compassion? Well, compassion is a feeling, is it not? It's an emotion. What do you think the priest felt when he walked by the man on the side of the road? What do you think the priest felt? Nada. What do you think the Levite felt? Not enough to make him stop. But Jesus says that the Samaritan stopped because he saw the man and he had compassion. A deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune. The dictionary says that compassion not only is that feeling, it is also accompanied with a feeling to alleviate suffering. You see, being a Christian is not simply a matter of the head, but the head and the heart. Not only do we want to have minds that think like the mind of Christ, we want to have hearts that beat like the heart of Christ. At Union University, we want to love the things that God loves. At Union University, we want to hate the things that God hates. At Union University, we want to be grieved over the things that grieve the heart of God. At Union University, we want to have joy over what brings joy to God's heart. Compassion is a matter of the heart. What do we say, particularly in this part of the country, what do we say when someone has experienced something terrible? We say, oh, my heart, what, goes out to them, does it not? We as Christians are people who have hearts that go out. And the reason we have hearts that go out is because God Himself, His Spirit, lives in us. And the Christian life is not simply about us thinking orthos. It is about us thinking and feeling orthos. It's not simply a matter of having our words right and our arguments tight. We want to have hearts that beat like Christ's heart. Paul would say it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing." Our prayer for you this evening is that you would have minds that think like the mind of Christ. That you would have hearts that beat like the heart of Christ. But we also pray that you would have hands that work like the hands of Christ. That here in this place, God would so work in your life to grow and develop your mind that He's given you, to expand your heart that He's given you, that He lives in, and that you would understand that God has given you your hands and He's given you your life to be one who hears the word, yes. But you do not deceive yourselves by hearing only, but you are doers of the word as well. The priest had probably pontificated on the importance of godliness. The Levite had probably led small group studies on the importance of godliness. But in this story, the Samaritan is the one who actually did something. It says in verse 34 that he, the Samaritan, went to him, the man on the side of the road, and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. He himself did. And the next day he took out 2 denarii, 2 of his own pieces of money. And he gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back." His thinking was translated into feeling, which was then translated into action. And our prayer for you, our prayer for all of us, our prayer for our community is that we would be a people who holistically love God with everything we've got. That we love God with the minds that He has given us. That we love God with the hearts that He has given us. That we love God with the hands that He has given us. You see, focusing on the mind alone can result in a mere intellectualism, and we don't want to go there. Focusing on the heart alone can result in mere emotionalism, and we don't want to go there either. Focusing on the hands alone can result in mere activism, and we don't want to go there. We want to love God with everything we've got, with heart and with soul and with mind. Just 9 chapters over from here, there is the story about a man in the city of Jericho whose name was Zacchaeus. Do you remember Zacchaeus, do you not? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for Jesus. He wanted to see. Yeah. Fantastic. I wish Dr. Matthews was here. The chairman of the music department, sign everybody up now. You know, Zacchaeus didn't know the Lord at the beginning of the story, but at the end of the story, he did. You know what Zacchaeus did? Because he was short of stature, Luke says that when Jesus came into Jericho, that Zacchaeus, now this is an interesting phrase, was seeking to see who Jesus was. He was seeking to see. He was seeking to see. And Zacchaeus didn't wait. Zacchaeus didn't sit back and just wait on it. Zacchaeus went over and he got up in a sycamore tree. He climbed up above everybody else. And Zacchaeus put himself in a position where he could see Jesus. He climbed up in the tree. And guys, listen, there are trees all over this campus. There are trees in classrooms. There are trees in the cafeteria. There are trees in this room right here. Trees all over the place. With blessing comes responsibility. God has blessed you in incredible ways. Get yourself up in one of the trees. Take advantage of these four, for some of you, 5, 6 years. Get up in the tree. Get up in the tree and listen to me. If you will discipline yourself and be like Zacchaeus and seek to see the Lord, if you will climb up in the tree, guess what? I promise you, because of what I've experienced in this place, you will see the Lord. You'll study things like math and science and nursing and theology. But let me tell you something, God is here. Climb up in a tree. Practice what I call the Zacchaeus principle. Dr. Mitchell, our provost, shared in a meeting with us recently about Professor T.T. Eaton. Now, wouldn't you hate it if your name was T.T.? Thomas Treadwell. Who was a professor at Union University for over 100 years ago. Over 100 years ago. And he wrote in the Union yearbook in 1906, this is what he said. Listen to T.T. Eaton. He said, "Schools exist for education. And that school is best that educates best, rather than that which has the largest number of students, the greatest endowment, or the biggest buildings. I think that Roman soldier who was chained to the Apostle Paul had the best opportunity for education that ever a man had." What is an education? It is not learning something that you did not know before, but it is becoming something different from what you were before. It is not information that educates, but training. Not knowledge, but thinking develops the man. Dr. Broadus, one of his contemporaries, defined an educated man as one who could put his mind on any subject as he chose and hold it there at will. Greek and Latin and mathematics are not to be learned simply that we may know these branches and be able to pass an examination in them. They are to be learned for the education which studying them brings, and which cannot be so well attained in any other way. Not that we may know about the dative case in Greek, Dr. Van Est, or the subjunctive mood in Latin, or the asymptotes in mathematics, Dr. Hale, but that we may be able to think rightly, listen, and to express our thoughts clearly and strongly, do we pursue these studies. Education is to give a man more sense and better sense than he had before. It is to increase his power and his efficiency for service. The highest education comes from the study of the highest things. No man is rightly educated till he has learned of God. The highest wisdom is to know God. That is life everlasting. Welcome to Union University. We're glad you're here.